High School Slumber Party is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
School is out and it's Friday night. I'm all wrapped up and I feel alright.
Welcome, pornographers new and old, geniuses from Cambodia, hardworking seniors ready to take that next step, and of course, the girl who moved in just next door. This is High School Slumber Party, the podcast where me and some friends look back at our teenage years through the lens of some iconic high school-centric films. I'm Brian Rodriguez. And the party's at my place this evening. But first, school, your sophomore year, is still in session. And we have some homework to chat about.
This was your assignment, and I would like to see the results.
How did you like our episode last week on the gore cut of Tammy and the T-Rex? Pretty good, right? I love having Kara on. I love having Jenny on. Hopefully we can get them back here again for something fun. That's my real hope. And let's just say you didn't happen to check out last week's episode, meaning you didn't do your homework, or you didn't listen to the original episode on Tammy and the T-Rex. Well, you're in luck. It's not like the episodes expire. I'll give you a little bit of a pass. You can check out all our past episodes where you're listening to us right now, whether that be Google Play, whether that be Stitcher, whether that be Spotify, or whether that be Apple Podcasts. And of course, our archive is located at our home, our proud home. That's cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. And while you're there on whatever place you're listening to us today, why don't you do the High School Slumber Party team a favor, which is really just me, but the team a favor. I shouldn't say that. The people over at the Cage Club Podcast Network, Joey Lewandowski in particular, are very instrumental in the back end stuff. So I'm not a team of one. However, you could thank me, you could thank Joey, you could thank everyone involved in this podcast by simply hitting that subscribe button. Or how about leaving us a 5-star review? Or writing us a review, I should say. Just making it known that High School Slumber Party is the place to be. And of course, the best way you can help out High School Slumber Party is by telling a friend about all the magic and love that happens here every Friday. Of course, all that stuff, you know, because you're a good student. That wasn't this week's homework assignment. This week's homework assignment was to watch a film called The Girl Next Door from 2004. Hope you watched it. This episode is going to be really, really fun. My good friend Wesley Vina is back. And, you know, spoiler alert, we have a good time talking about this movie. This movie has no business having this much heart. Trust me, this should be just a raunchy early 2000s sex comedy. I don't know, it covers so many themes like morality, honesty, respect, loyalty. I feel like John Cena, but you know what I mean. It's just like a surprise. Whoa, whoa, whoa. The bell doesn't dismiss you. I dismiss you. Come on, guys. You know the drill by now. And by the way, when I say it's a surprise, it's not that I haven't seen this movie before. I just hadn't seen it in a while, and this is what I love about this podcast. You and I can rewatch films that we'd seen many years ago, sometimes when we were teenagers ourselves, and assess them with a modern lens, and sometimes we get some pleasant surprises. But I'm not going to spoil it any further. Some other quick homework assignments, though. As mentioned, previously, I just guest starred on Too Fast, Too Forever for their Hobbs and Shaw episode with the aforementioned Carrigal O'Regan, with the aforementioned Joey Lewandowski, and of course the other host of that show, Joe Two, who's been on this podcast as well, and I had a blast talking Hobbs and Shaw. Check it out where you're listening to this podcast right now. Just put Too Fast, Too Forever. Just search that, Google it, type it anywhere, you'll find it. It's a great show, and oh my god, like I said, I had so much fun talking about it. You definitely want to check that out. I'm making that mandatory homework as well. And I guess that's it for all your assignments for the weekend. So you know what that means. Pack your favorite jammies. Tell your mother you're sleeping over Brian's. Because we're about to get our party on. I leave you with a song that has a lot of heart. David Gray's This Year's Love. Class dismissed. Now that you're here, now that you're on, I got two questions for you.
Sure.
First one, what's your favorite kind of porn?
Free porn.
Okay, good. No matter what it is, you're fine with it?
I wouldn't go that far.
Good to
know. I'm not porn fluid. Is that a thing?
Well, if you're out there, guys, and you're into porn, send Wes every kind of porn
yes.
you can imagine and see.
Please, free, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
My other question, is the juice worth the squeeze?
Depends what you're juicing.
Well, today we're talking about The Girl Next Door from 2004. There's a lot of films that are called this. Like, if you Google it, there's
sure.
like a horror film, and there's films. Because it's like a very common phrase.
But yeah.
Girl Next Door. Before we get into the film, before we get into any of that, don't want to forget about this. Please introduce yourself in the classic high school slumber party model.
My name is Wesley Vina. I graduated from Northern Valley Regional High School. Our mascot was the Golden Knights, and the year was 2005.
2005, good year. And again, we were classmates, so
yes.
This is a you know, nice little episode where we get to, not that we have a reunion, we know each other and talk, but
yes.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. So it's always reminisce on the old days.
Reminisce. So you were on, so you've been on this podcast before, it's been a while though, mm-hmm. And this film, well, you were on Superbad with the foodie films man himself,
yes.
Kyle Reinfried,
yes.
Another person we went to high school with. The man whose mom bakes cookies at 2 a.m.
11:30 midnight, but yeah.
Regardless, yes. But, and that Superbad was popular from the jump, you know. It was popular
absolutely.
From day one.
Yeah.
The first film you were on this podcast, Ghost World, I feel like has become a cult classic. Like,
yeah.
Maybe not everyone has seen it, but people who have seen it was like, wow, this is a really good movie.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think we're on another cult classic episode today. I think it's fair to say.
Oddly enough, yeah.
Because, okay, The Girl Next Door, when I posted about it on, like, Facebook and mm-hmm. Twitter, people were responding. People were like, oh, awesome, and, like, memes and stuff, and I got some text messages like, oh, you're doing The Girl Next Door? It's so cool. And I was kind of surprised. I'm not going to lie. I was like, not that I don't like this film or anything like that, but I have not seen it since maybe it came out.
Sure.
So when I heard that, I'm like, oh, it's like kind of one of these things where you don't know what cult classics are till you kind of like put it out
yeah.
there.
Yeah, and I think maybe it's related to the fact that there was high school teen movie fatigue by that point, because we just came
oh,
out of
absolutely.
The late 90s, all
absolutely.
The American Pies and all those other things, so it kind of maybe was just on the tail end of that, and people were just done with that shit at that point.
So I think we'll talk about this, but I had lower expectations of this film than maybe I should have. You mentioned American Pie, and that's obviously your, like, typical teenage sex romp.
Sure.
And I kind of was like, I think this film is that. Mm-hmm. But it's a little bit different to that. When I asked you, hey, Wes, I want you to back on, is one of the films that you said you wanted to talk about again.
Yes.
Why'd you want to talk about it? And do you remember the first time you ever actually watched this film?
Sure. So I want to talk about it because I think it's a good movie. I like it. And I do remember the first time I watched it. It was actually after high school. It was freshman year of college. I was seeing some girl off and on. She actually didn't go to my college. I met her at a ska concert. Of course.
Who? Say Ferris.
I think it was the Toasters. I don't even know how I ended up there or why I went because I didn't even like the band.
The Toasters?
That's what I think they were like like they're pretty like popular underground or I guess well known in the ska community. Like a Less Than Jake or a like
Less Than Jake, yeah.
Yeah, like Save Ferris or whatever that shit. And you know, I hung out mainly in the, not in the concert hall, like in like the lobby area just because I was a weirdo. And I just met this girl and we became friends and we started kind of dating. And then one time she took me back to her apartment, which is in her mom's house.
But she had her own apartment in her mom's house?
No, it was an apartment, and she lived with her mom. I don't even know why I'm explaining that. I'm complicating the thing.
You're making it cooler.
But I'm not, though. We're both fucking... She was actually younger. I was 18. I think she... No, she was definitely 18.
I was going to say, don't incriminate yourself.
No. I think she was. She was 17 or 18. Whatever. We were, like, the same age. Yeah, it was a Jerry Lee Lewis situation.
Like, when I think about my friends, no, I was like, Wes is like the Jerry Lee Lewis of our friends. We're like, you know, like, one of us is Elvis, one of us is like Johnny Cash.
Which, who's Elvis? And
Kyle.
He wishes, yeah. Kyle's more like the Colonel, not like Elvis.
I don't think our friends translate to the old like,
country rock New Jersey legends,
like the
yeah.
old Memphis set.
Yeah,
like,
I know. Yeah, the I'm Sun Records.
I'm Waylon Jennings.
Yes, you are. I was a highwayman.
anyway. Yes. So, you know, you were with this girl, and she.
Whatever. She's like, oh, you haven't seen this movie? You gotta watch it. It's great. And then we were watching it, and at the time, I was just like a nervous weirdo. And I think she put it on to try to get me in the mood because she started like touching me. But I was just too much of a weirdo. I just kept watching the movie because I was enjoying it.
It was like nervous. Netflix and chill before Netflix and chill.
It was, yeah.
You
it
didn't
was,
get the memo.
No, I didn't. Yeah, I was just watching the movie. I was enjoying the movie.
I remember one time, Kyle, you know, our mutual friend.
Unfortunately.
I'm just
kidding. I love Kyle sometimes.
Him and I went to a movie, and I forgot the movie, but it was like a very indie kind of film.
Okay.
And we were both single at the time, and it was in the Palisades movie theater. This was like, you know, in our 20s.
Was it the Pacificer?
No, it wasn't the Pacificer. Inside joke there. I'll explain it to you guys.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Just the pacifier, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so we went to this movie, and it was just literally us and these two girls in the entire theater.
Sure.
And these two girls were like, oh, this is funny. We cracked a joke. Like, it's just us in the theater. Like, oh, you mind if we sit next to you? We're like, sure. And that was the last time we talked. Because we were like, I just really want to watch the movie.
Yeah. You didn't even catch on to it.
We parted ways, and that was it.
Yeah, but you could have been like, after the movie, like, oh, did you like it? You want to, like, grab coffee, talk about it, or hang out?
We didn't even say bye.
Of course not.
Sorry, just reminded me of that. But, you know, that's not that crazy for
But that relates to my situation, how, like, we were just sort of, like, obtuse to the fact that women wanted to talk to us.
Exactly, and I was going to mention in high school, like, that was... I don't want to say that was your thing.
Yeah.
That happened a lot with you, so I think our crew, if you will, like, the guys who hung out with each other, and I don't mean to say this to sound like hipster or anything, everyone we knew were friends because we didn't care about being cool. And that's not saying we were, like, nerds or anything.
No, and it also wasn't... We weren't trying to be counterculture in any way or trying to be outside of the norm or weird. Right?
No.
That's what you're saying. Yeah.
No.
It just happened that way.
We didn't, like... We weren't, like, in the rat race to be, like, the coolest people at the school. We just wanted to do our thing.
Yeah. And it's not even like we were all, like, into the same stuff. We were, but it's, you know what I mean? It's
we
not
were
like,
and we weren't.
We weren't, yeah. It's not like we were, like, gamers or something.
I don't think he listens to my show anyway, but the foodie films man himself, Kyle Reinfried.
No, yeah.
I think he was the one exception.
He's busy.
In our
he's eating
friend group.
A cannoli or something.
But he was, not that he was, like, striving to be cool, but he definitely, like, was more, like,
Even if he didn't admit it, he wanted to be accepted by
Yeah,
by
and
everyone.
He was accepted by us, and he was happy. I'm not saying like he wasn't.
No, yeah, I mean, it's one of my regrets in life, but yeah, we did accept him. I don't know why it's turned into a Kyle bash. I do love
no,
Kyle.
No, you're kidding.
Yeah,
everyone knows
I
kidding.
Love Kyle. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I really do. I do.
No, it's not that. But the point is, like, most of our group was like that. But I bring it up because this movie kind of reminded me, your conversation especially reminds me, there was a couple times when there was girls in high school, women, if you will, young
sure.
young ladies.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're going to remember this specific person, but maybe when I say the story.
Yeah,
girl,
let me hear the details.
But there was a girl, very popular girl. She was either, like, a cheerleader on the dance team, very... Okay. Pretty girl, at least, you know, well, she is still now, you know, she's still pretty now. Because
she did dance. Volleyball, too, I think.
Yes,
I know who
yes.
you're talking about.
Okay,
yes.
We know. Don't say the name. But
I won't. Not that she would care or know.
No.
Well, if she did care, that'd be kind of funny. I kind of felt like saying it.
That'd be awesome.
Yes.
No.
She'd be like, I still think about you. I'd be like, okay, I fucked up. Let's do this.
Okay, so you definitely know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
And, you know, you were into the music scene. Mm-hmm. Still are. I'm not saying you're not.
Yeah, yeah.
But... You had a band in high school, mm-hmm. Those Who Hung Heroes.
Yes, yes.
Carstruck Midnight.
Oh, Jesus. The one song I didn't write. Yes.
No, you had a band. What would you call the genre of your high school band?
There's no doubt we're emo, hardcore, New Jersey, VFW scene. Right after, like, Saves the Day, it was still a big scene. Like, it was the thing to do back in the day.
But if I asked you at the time, hey, is this an emo band? You would be like, fuck that, no?
I would have been in denial and said no. Good times.
Madison.
Madison, yeah.
It was
Early Rising. That's who we, that was like our sister band.
That was what's the one we like? Oh God, did we tell this story?
John Connor?
Did we tell the John Connor story ever?
I don't know.
I don't know, but we have to.
I don't
tell
think
story.
We.
Sorry, guys, we're going on a tangent, but I gotta say this story.
Okay.
So one time, I don't know why there was some.
There was a talent. They were gonna do like the first, like a, some sort of like it wasn't even a talent show
it
really.
A Battle
it was like
of the
a
Bands.
Battle of the Bands arts thing.
So you. Me and Kyle, for some reason,
yes,
decided to. I think we did say this, but whatever. Not everyone
did we?
Ever an episode. I don't know because I
don't know.
I don't know because
it doesn't matter. Doesn't it's not matter. Like anybody's going to be like, "Oh, skip this," because I heard this earlier.
Regardless,
get to the movie. That's a listener, not me.
Probably. Regardless, you, me, and Kyle like decided to fuck around and sign up for Battle of the Bands. You were
yes.
actually. Oh, Kyle was musical too. I guess he was the drum major or whatever. Okay, Kyle is a drummer. You
yes,
actually had a
rule.
High school band.
Yeah.
And I didn't have anything related to that. But we're like,
no.
Let's just sign up for Battle of the Bands.
Yes.
Why not? So we did, for some reason.
Sure.
We went to like the meetings and stuff too, which is like...
I don't think I ever did, but you were all in on it. You were like a member and the promoter and the manager of this
funny.
Fake band.
Yeah, it was,
yes.
it was just funny.
No, of course. It was great.
I enjoyed it. And we were the Soho Love Triangle.
Yes, the Soho Love Triangle.
I made a GeoCities website.
You know, which like existed, I think, maybe up until like 7 years ago or something.
Yeah,
I've
no,
looked
for
at
a while.
It.
I remember in
yeah.
college it was still there. I remember
yes.
like after college it was
yeah,
still
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
We were the Soho Love Triangle. What a weird name.
And you use, yes, whatever.
I used Microsoft Paint to make a logo.
And the demo you submitted was from one of the bands that were part of
yes.
the scene. My band was
John
in.
Connor.
John Connor, yes.
So yeah, I used to go to a lot of your shows and
yeah.
went to the merch stand and, you know, picked up a random like
sure.
demo whatever
yeah
and they're like, oh, you need to like show a sampling, and I just submitted that. Like, I don't know what I was thinking would happen.
Yeah, we were never gonna do it, obviously.
No, obviously not, like.
And people and were excited in the school, weren't
yeah,
they?
Oh my God,
like, you guys are playing, this is gonna be cool.
Yeah, they made us the headliner of this event. And again, we never like play together. I don't even play an instrument.
No, there was no music, there was nothing.
So they made us the headliner, and we dropped out only because you had a gig.
Like, I had an actual show
yeah,
with a real band.
Yeah, an actual show that night, so we were not able to
That's
play.
That's actually a perfect excuse, at least.
It is a great excuse, yeah. We were not
Remember
able
Eco?
To...
I think Eco was excited. I feel like
oh,
she was
yeah.
involved.
She was like...
That was another female caller I had that I just completely ignored.
We said the name, but whatever, she definitely doesn't listen.
No, she's probably
she
back.
She was pretty, too.
She was. I was a loser. I fucked up.
A lot of pretty girls yes. liked you, and you
people
just,
if they had a time machine, they'd be like, "I'm gonna go back and like, you yeah, know, get the sports almanac or whatever."
Yeah.
Like back to the future. Me, I would go back and fuck all the girls that wanted to fuck me in high school, and I was too nervous.
But
to
not
fuck.
As not as a 30,
not as a 30, plus, as my 18 year old self.
As 18 year old self.
17, yeah, even younger. We were 16.
Yeah,
17.
That time we were like 16, 17, maybe 16,
yeah.
17.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
And they probably didn't even want to fuck. They probably just wanted to make out.
But I meant
no,
I
did. Oops. Oh shit!
Whatever. I'm leaving it.
No, you gotta. That's the one thing. Like, if you're gonna mention her name, it can't be in that sentence.
I'll bleep it out. We'll bleep that name.
Bleep it out.
Regardless. So this one girl really liked you to the point. Again, she was a popular girl. She dressed like in the typical fashion of the day. Aeropostale.
Abercrombie.
American Eagle.
American Eagle. Remember the store I came after Abercrombie? It was like a darker version.
Oh, it didn't do well, right? Because I don't think it lasted. So I remember like Hollister, right? Like it had a Porsche on the front. I still remember the smell of like Hollister cologne.
Totally,
like,
yeah.
Hollister perfume. And
yeah, yeah.
Very surfery.
Yeah, yeah. I went to like PacSun. It was big in the day because Blink was big and that's where you get like Hurley stuff or
DC. I feel PacSun was more legit than these other stores I'm mentioning.
Back then it was. It was cool.
But it was still in a mall, like Hot Topic. And...
Of course. Yeah, yeah. In the end, it was a mall store.
And the mall was like the scene where you got everything. Anyway. I digress. Yeah. So this one girl, who shall remain nameless, was like one of the prettiest, most popular girls in school.
Yeah, like the typical pretty blonde high school girl.
She got into you and she would go to your shows and started to dress like all quote-unquote punk.
Yes.
Because she thought that's what you were into.
Yeah.
I remember she went with her other friend at one of the shows. Because you used to play the circuit, right? You used to play like Oradell Knights of Columbus.
Yes.
VFW Hall.
Yeah.
Old North Church in Dumont.
Totally.
Like we used to just do the scene.
Yes, the Jersey emo hardcore punk scene. Absolutely. And we also branched out though. We did CBGBs and all that.
CBGB, awesome. You know, it's a shoe store now, but.
Yeah, I can't even walk past it. It's just depressing.
It's so different. It's so different. Regardless.
It was still bad down there.
Yeah.
The Lower East Side was bad still. There was the homeless guy. I forget his name.
It was
and he'd fuck with all the Jersey suburb kids that would come to see us. It was good stuff.
Hilarious. No, but this girl, like, she started wearing, like armbands and dressing.
Yeah, like black. the studded belts. Like
yeah,
that
studded
kind of
belts.
Shit.
Yeah, like the wallet chain.
Yeah, she was going all in. She was just trying to court me, and I was just an idiot.
She was like, rock on. That's an awesome show, dude. It was so obvious and so on point, but like at the same time, I remember thinking, like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't know.
Date her because she's a very pretty lady.
I'm an idiot.
I remember now that we're talking about. I remember that you said she looked like Simba, and that bothered you.
She looked like the girl that liked Simba.
Oh, Nala.
Is that her name?
Nala. Yeah.
But like in retrospect, what an idiot. I think it had to do with the fact that she was trying to change herself for me. I think that annoyed me.
I get it now. As an adult, but when you're a kid, like at the time, like, who cares?
Yes.
It's great. The popular girl wants to change herself for you.
Yep. It's usually the other way, right? Like, the nerd has to turn into the popular person.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I brought up, like, the way we were back in the day. Like, again, we're not nonconformist in a cool way.
No, not at all. We just liked different things than people, and it wasn't even alternative things. It was just weird.
No.
It was a weird sense of humor. I don't know.
Yeah, weird sense of humor.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like weird shit. We used to talk about like talking heads and
And even like we liked Queer Eye a lot, and we changed the background in the library, all the computers to the different members of Queer.
Yeah, that's original Queer Eye guys. Kids
yes,
at home,
I won't even watch this new one. It's blasphemy. If there's no Carson Kressley, I'm out.
Can you name all the five Queer Eye guys?
I think Carson is the only one I know.
Carson, let's see, Kyan,
okay. Yeah, there you go.
Jay, Carson, Kyan, Jay, God. Guys out there, if you could name the other two Queer
Eye
guys.
I'd have no idea.
I could say anything. Steve, Ryan. I don't know. I'll look it up. But again, we're here to talk about 2004's The Girl Next Door. I watched this movie way back when. I haven't seen it since when did it come out? Like we were in high school, but maybe right after. Maybe.
No, I think it's technically 2004.
Yeah,
we were in high school.
So we were in high school. Yeah. I don't know if I saw it in high school. I think I might have saw it in college. But I watched it. For one basic reason. One, it has like a very iconic, in my mind, like poster/DVD cover.
Yeah, like on like, I could see it like on the Blockbuster wall, new release, and it's just all her.
It's all her.
And like the way that, I remember the cover almost like covers part of her body, maybe? I don't know.
It's like her body and there's like a little window of him.
Yeah, okay.
Her, like, no one's noticing that, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's a pretty lady.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She's a very pretty lady, and that's why I watched it. And I didn't have, honestly, high expectations for this film this time around. I don't know. I thought it was just going to be, like you said, like an American Pie kind
of
thing.
Sure, like a cliche teen.
But, you know, I kind of enjoyed this. So before we get into like really diving into scenes and your favorite moments and what you enjoyed about this film, every week I read the back of the DVD or VHS and whatever it is.
Sure.
So here goes. 18-year-old Matthew Ridman is a straight I thought there should be a comma here, but not. Yes, he is straight, but is a straight A, straight A, overachiever who has never really lived life until he falls for the girl next door. The beautiful, sexy, and seemingly innocent Danielle. They quickly fall in love, and everything seems perfect, but when Matthew and his sex-mad pals, Eli and Klitz, oh yeah, Klitz, I forgot, Eli and Klitz, discover the perfect girl next door is actually a porn star, their sheltered existence begins to spin out of control.
Can I make a comment about Klitz real quick?
Yes.
I was watching it and thinking, it's so stupid, why would his name be Klitz? And then we had a friend who was Tits. Teats. So it's not that outrageous that this kid, that he was Klitz and then he called him Klitz.
Because no,
we had a
Teats.
Yeah, Tommy, we had a Teats.
Went to school with us.
Yes.
Friend with us.
Yeah.
His name was Tommy Teats. Like, names like this exist.
So. Yeah, so it's not even outrageous to have that name.
No, and again, it's worth it for like the punchline later
of course.
In this film. It really is. So one thing I'll say before we get into this. This film, I think, it didn't do that well in theater, and I think got shit on a lot because a lot of people compared it to Risky Business.
Sure.
Have you seen Risky Business?
Yes.
And I watched this, and I was kind of, especially this watch, I was kind of expecting Risky Business, more Risky Business stuff, because, to be honest with you, when I first saw this film, I hadn't seen Risky Business yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like,
I don't think I had either.
Yeah, like, I don't think this film, I get it. It has similarities.
Yeah, like the female in the sex industry. The creepy guy who controls the female in the sex industry.
And it's in high school.
And
right?
It's in high school. I think those are like three main connections.
Yeah, but it's not like
connections.
Not crazy to an extent. Like it's not a remake.
No, not at all.
So I wanted to read a little bit more about it. And apparently when this film was first concepted, they were like, let's reboot Risky Business. But once they got to writing.
Interesting.
They were like, oh, let's just do our own story because we've kind of like crafted our own.
And
then
I guess that it's even before the reboots were a thing, really.
Really, yeah.
Yeah. And all,
I mean, people say that, but I was talking about this with someone recently. Like, reboots also became a thing in the 90s, and we just didn't realize because there was, like, a Brady Bunch movie.
Sure.
They would do stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah, Beverly Hillbillies.
But, like, they'd reboot it, but it was almost in, like, a campy way.
Yeah, it was a campy parody.
It wasn't
ever, like, let's start this for a new
generation.
Yeah,
like, let's redo this.
Even the Flintstones, right? Like,
yeah.
Everything.
I like the Brady Bunch movie isn't bad.
I like the Brady
Bunch. It's funny.
I'm going to cover that on this podcast.
The first one's
more of a high school film. The second one, they go to like Hawaii.
It's
hilarious.
X or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, those movies are good. I do actually like those movies.
I saw both those movies with my mom and my sister in Bergenfield Movie Theater. I don't know why I remember that.
But the Brady Bunch like got popular again when we were young.
Yeah, I guess so.
Nick
because it was like our parents' nostalgia at that point.
Exactly. So nostalgia has always existed. So
yeah.
Like, oh, we're in a nostalgia era. I get that. But I am sick of like the ring. So like I'm on both sides of this fence here, you know.
It's different in the sense that I feel like there was, even back then, there was, I don't know why we're going on this tangent, there was still a number of original films that outweighed the amount of rebooted films.
Yeah,
and
now it's like the entire season's like, I'm not even joking, 90% of it is either reboot
or giant franchise, or even TV now is reboots of movies into a TV show.
Yeah.
So,
it's just,
whatever. Like, anyway, Girl Next Door.
So, this is like, it should have been a reboot, but it's not. And I think if you see it as something related to Risky Business, you're going to be like disappointed, maybe. But, like,
sure.
Forget that. Like, forget the Risky Business part. This is a really interesting film, and it's more serious than I thought. It's less American Pie.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see boobs. Okay, you do.
Sure.
But it's not like in that kind of random American Pie way.
Yeah, like, oh, tits.
So this director, his name is Luke Greenfield. He didn't do much and he hasn't done much since.
Yeah, I don't know anything else by him.
He did a film I know you actually really like.
What is it?
The Animal with Rob Schneider.
I don't think I've ever seen it. It's not because I don't like Rob Schneider. I just don't think I've seen it.
The co-star was like someone off Survivor. I can't remember.
Oh, shit. Yes. That's so funny.
His most recent like big film was Let's Be Cops.
I never heard of it.
Which I saw the trailer. I thought was going to be funny, but apparently was not great.
Who's in it?
Like a couple people from New Girl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway.
Regardless, I think he did a really good job here. Someone did a really good job here.
Sure.
Maybe it was the casting director, because this cast is kind of ahead of its time.
Totally. I'm trying to think of who's in it that was already, like, established and big.
A couple people are, but not huge, right? Like, there's no, like, A-listers.
Sure.
Let's start with, like, you know, Matthew, who we mentioned before, Emil Hirsch, who was actually underage when he did this. Like, we talk about this a lot in these films, how they, sometimes they cast, like, 25-year-olds to be, like, high schoolers. Yeah. He was 17 when he shot this.
Okay, yeah.
So he's actually younger than the character he plays, which
That's funny.
Like, so
supposed
rare.
Supposed to be 18, I guess.
And Emil Hirsch, obviously, like, you know, he went on to have, still having a good career, but
sure.
Into the Wild, Milk, Lords of Dogtown.
Yeah.
And he kind of had, like, a lull, but he was recently in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So
yeah, with the rest of Hollywood. It's like a ton of movies.
A lot of people were in the film, but,
yeah.
You know, if you're doing Tarantino, you're not, like...
Yeah, I think he had some sort of controversy that stopped him for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he like, hit a woman at, like, Sundance or something.
Oh, I didn't
something
know that.
Something crazy like that. Like, he was drunk.
Yeah. Okay, that's
anyway.
Not
good. Yeah.
So he couldn't actually film any of the sex or sexy scenes. They had to like have precautions. Like, so when he's in that strip club,
okay,
legally they had to put pillows on him, like, so the woman technically didn't touch him, which is really funny. I gotta look up this controversy. We can, oh yeah, you're wow. You know your celebrity gossip. I'm surprised.
I just
looked it up quickly. It was at the Tao nightclub in Park City, and that's where Sundance is, right?
I guess, yeah.
One of the festivals is. Yeah,
whatever. He's at some fucking film festival.
Okay, so not good. Okay, Emil Hirsch, I'm not gonna.
I don't know what happened. He did hit a woman.
Yeah,
right?
At a restaurant. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Not gonna support you as much as I thought it was.
Yes.
In this podcast.
He's a big Jake LaMotta fan.
Oh God. Thank you for letting me know about that. Let's move on.
She was burning his steak.
Elijah Cuthbert? Is that how you pronounce it? Cuthbert?
I guess Cuthbert. I always said Cuthbert, but it's probably wrong.
I'll even say it's still today. What a pretty lady. She's still a pretty lady.
I'm sure.
Why wouldn't she be?
Yeah, yeah.
She plays Danielle. At the time, she was kind of, I don't know, like, I knew
I never
her.
I didn't know her.
After this movie, I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, she didn't do many other films.
No, I feel like that was, like, her peak or whatever.
Apparently, she's in that show The Ranch on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Like, Ashton Kutcher. She got kind of famous in the sports world. She controversially dated, like, a couple hockey players.
Oh.
And one of them got cut from his team because he famously said to her husband now, who, like, they're still married, he's like, oh, you took my sloppy seconds.
And they fired him?
Yeah, and he got cut from his team.
I feel like it's, like, locker room talk. Like, like, guys just, like, keep, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, it's not a hockey podcast. I don't know. Maybe
yeah.
Our mutual friend Chris Carroll will have more insight on that.
Yes.
But
oh, yeah. I heard
her. I remember her in Old School. She was in a couple things. But
she was in 24. That's what I know for her from.
Yes, 24. Yeah, that was
That's like the only other thing I've seen her
that
in.
That was her big thing.
Which I didn't even watch, really.
So she plays Danielle. And I didn't remember this guy was in this film, but Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, when I first saw this movie, I've never seen him before. I'm like, who is this Johnny Knoxville ripoff?
Yeah, he has.
Because I didn't know who he was.
He has like a Johnny Knoxville
vibe,
right? But like not in other things.
No,
like
just
romantic
this.
Comedies and stuff.
Yeah, like, and then like he's like he did like Justified or whatever. But at the time, I didn't know who he was.
No,
so I just
and,
thought
and
of that.
I didn't even remember he was in this film.
Yeah.
And he's also in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
True.
So, you know.
There you go.
There's a little connection with Emil Hirsch there. Yeah. I wonder if they talked about this movie.
Probably not.
I doubt it. Yeah. So this is the one person who I was going to say had a career before this, but he wasn't, like, popular. Like, he wasn't, like, a household name. It's James Remar, who plays Hugo.
I know him as Dexter's dad.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were a big Dexter guy.
I was.
So, Dexter, I originally first saw him in the film The Warriors.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't even put that together.
Yeah, he's in a bunch of stuff.
He's like a character actor almost. Yeah.
Like, he's definitely a guy who's, like, still working in Hollywood, which is great, and I'm sure he's, like,
he's awesome. He's got a great voice.
A wonderful voice. But I don't think, like, you walk down the street and people, like, know his name.
No, I would. But no.
If I had to pick, like, what kind of career I would have, like, a Hollywood career... as an actor, it would be that, right?
Yeah, because like, he's working a lot, but he's
working
also,
a lot
like,
recognizable face, but like not like he's not like Tom Cruise. He walks into a restaurant and people are like,
yeah, and you also know. You don't have to worry about maintaining that Tom Cruise level
of you know,
fame.
Like,
you just keep doing your stuff.
You take the roles you like, you know, you have a good time. Who knows? He might have a miserable life. I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah, he's an alcoholic. He just loves prostitutes. You heard it here first.
I'll just mention a couple other people here. Chris Marquette, who I really didn't know well, plays Eli, but I think he does a really good job, so... Just wanted to single him out. He was on the first season of that show, Barry. I don't know if you've seen Barry.
I saw Barry, yeah.
But Barry's like it.
Wait, well, who is he in Barry?
He's like Barry's friend. If I if I show you a picture of him, I'll show you a picture right now.
I think Barry's good, but overrated, but it's good.
I like Barry. He's like this guy.
Oh, okay, yeah. Does he die?
Yeah.
He gets, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Whatever.
Two other people I'm going to mention. Paul Dano.
He went on to be a big actor too, in like a character actor sense, I suppose.
He's a guy who like could have just like done this, like the nerdy role. But I want to act. And like, you know, he's in There Will Be Blood.
Yeah.
A little bit Sopranos. Of Sunshine. Sopranos, yeah. Yeah. A little bit of Sunshine. But recently, like Love and Mercy, he was, what's his name?
I didn't see it.
From the Beach Boys.
Oh, okay. What's his name? Brian Wilson?
Yeah, Brian. He was like the younger Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
And John Cusack was the older Brian
Was
Wilson.
He? I didn't see that movie. Is it
I
bad?
I didn't see it, but... No, I didn't see it.
Don't you have a thing with... Does podcast have a thing with John Cusack?
Yes, John Cusack. Bringing up a sore subject. John Cusack blocked us week two of this podcast.
Do you know why?
We did Better Off Dead, and apparently he hates the movie. I tweeted at him, and I said, hey, John Cusack, why do you hate Better Off Dead? It's great. And he blocked me. Apparently he blocks a lot of people, whatever.
Oh, okay, it's like his thing.
It's his thing, but still, come on.
And I like John Cusack because he's a big Clash fan, and not enough people talk about the Clash.
There you go.
Yeah, only Ben that matters.
And then he was also in 12 Years a Slave, but like, great to see him here. He's a good actor.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's got a very distinct look.
Yeah. His hair in this movie is so bad.
So bad, but
it's
like,
crazy. It's perfect, but
it was okay at the time, like the fashion.
Was it though?
I feel think
like
so.
That hair is so weird.
I think it was more okay at the time than, like, if someone had that now, you'd be like, is this person going to kill me?
Yeah. Or if it was, like, 2008 in, like, Williamsburg, you'd be like, yeah, look at this asshole.
Yeah. That's what he definitely became after this.
Sure.
You know? The other person I was going to mention is, I don't know if you recognize her, but Olivia Wilde was one of the girls in high school.
Just, like, one of the popular girls?
I didn't realize that. Like, I didn't even recognize her. I just looked it up in, like, the IMDb stuff.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
She's, like, one of these girls.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, I didn't even realize it, though. Yeah, she looks different. I mean, she's the same, but she looks different. She's young. Super young.
Yeah, not a big deal, but whatever. All right, let's get into it. Like, you know, we don't have to walk scene by scene here, but early film, what did you like about this film?
I think, well, first of all, the film just caught me by surprise. I wasn't expecting to be drawn into it so much and to actually like the characters. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
So it had a depth. Not that it's like, you know, it's not Citizen Kane or whatever. There's no fucking Rosebud. But like, it's relatable in the sense that like, it came out of an era of cheesy teen movies, American Pie, that really had no basis and like no reality to it at all. You know what I mean? Like, it's like this weird way of looking at high school, like popular versus like the geeks. But it was just kind of, it was more normal than anything. It's hard to explain. I don't know. I just related to it in a way, I guess.
Yeah, like, in a sense where, like, a movie about, like, a porn star, I'm expecting just, like, tits, tits, tits.
Sure.
You know, like, people having fun, and it's like, why would this guy date this girl? And originally, I was kind of getting those vibes.
Yeah.
So, obviously, Danielle, like, moves in next door, and Matthew catches her, and Matthew's, like, this goody-two-shoes guy. But he's not, like... He's not, like, a hateable goody-two-shoes guy.
No, he's just, like, just normal and just intelligent, like, just worried about, like, his future and just that, yeah.
Yeah, and he catches her, like, getting changed, and she, like, stops by. And this was maybe, I was like, oh, this is a little contrived. Why would she, like, come over?
Yeah.
You know, but, like, I kind of got it, like, as the movie went along.
Sure, and she's good in it, and, like... She sells it really well.
They have great chemistry.
Yeah,
like, this is a great cast, and they have great chemistry. You know, when she goes over and she's like, she plays a trick on him.
Yeah.
He gets like, he has to like strip down naked.
Sure.
It feels more believable than it should, right? Like if you read a script of that and you read it on paper, you'd be like, this is so stupid. Like,
yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe it's because they're just good actors, or like, again, like I said, they had this chemistry.
Yeah.
That like it felt believable, and it felt like, all right. Why would she date this guy, especially when she date like the guys she was previously dating, or like the Timothy Oliphant kind of?
Yeah, guys. Like the like aggro guy. Like, yeah. But the thing is, like between them, like they in a cheesy way they complete each other. He never got to live high school in a social sense and come of age, and she never got to have his part of her child, she never had his part of childhood in the sense that of just growing up and being a weirdo and going through high school and experiencing things like the prom and stuff. So like they complete each other in that sense.
Exactly. So when you think of it in that sense, it's not as like crazy, like why would this like really pretty girl go after this nerd? You know?
Yeah, they both have what each other yearn, even if they didn't know they were yearning for it.
And she even says in that one scene, like, you know, I like the way you look at me.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense of, like, if our 2020 lenses,
yeah,
yeah, he thinks she's hot. I'm not saying she does. He doesn't.
Yeah.
But he's not really objectifying her
no.
like she's used to in the porn industry.
Absolutely not. Yeah. And that's why down the line they have that, like, they come to that crossroads where he does, when he realizes she is it. Am I jumping ahead?
No. You know, we're just having a free-flowing conversation.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, that's when she almost turns on him and reverts back to her old life because she's like, oh, wait, this guy, once he has this information or just this knowledge, then he stops looking at me this way. Now I'm just another girl or porn actress to him, in a sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So she's...
My value as a person doesn't exist anymore. I'm just a sex object again.
Exactly, and, like, I didn't expect that kind of depth in this film.
Sure,
know?
Yeah. But so the funny thing is, it wasn't even his fault, it was his dumb friend's fault.
Oh, I love those guys.
Do you like to... Wait, what does he say? When they're in the car, when he picks her up, he's like, do you like to rock? And she's like, what?
Yeah, so, again, when he first starts dating her, he doesn't even know she's a porn star, and he's just like, this is a pretty girl.
Yeah.
But then when they're talking, he's, like, seeing that they... They both see that they have, like, chemistry with each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, again, to go back to Risky Business, I feel like there's more objectifying in Risky Business.
Yeah, and, like, it's almost cheesy, though, the music and, like, the sex on the train and stuff. I don't know. It's just silly.
It's very of its era, and this is almost ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Where it's not, like, again, I'm not saying this is, like, a groundbreaking movie or, like, a you know, Me Too kind of movie, like, in a positive way.
Yeah.
But it's still not as... crappy and objectifying as a 2004 movie about a porn star
exactly.
should be.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Of course, yeah. We'll go back to, like, American Pie, like, the exchange student. It's just, like, they justify it with the webcam. They hot, you know what I mean? Like, it's shit like that, yeah.
I totally expected a lot of things like that in this.
Yeah.
Like, let's just film her and see what happens. But
sure.
Most of it is she's making her choices. He's not forcing her to do anything.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's just like, oh, my God, like, this movie...
She's incredibly empowered. I mean, even if you think of her in terms of her sexuality and her role in the porn industry, everyone's fawning over her. They go to the fucking porn expo. She has a huge marquee. I mean, she's...
Yeah, she like when people say porn star, that means everyone, but she's legitimately a star.
Yeah. And I think in entertainment anyway, like the her manager, Timothy Oliphant, like, he's obviously... He ends up being an asshole to her and stuff, but, you know.
But it's not like that doesn't happen.
No, you know? Yeah.
So, a couple other things, like, you know, just I wanted to bring up early in this film. I love, again, this is a very much a high school film in a sense. Like, they're in high school a lot.
Yes.
He's trying to get the scholarship. You know, especially, I don't know how things are today, but when we were going to school, it was all pressure. Like, you got to go to college. Mm-hmm. You got to go to these colleges. And he gets into Georgetown, but he can't pay for it. And as we know, college is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing a couple things. He raised $25,000 to get that, like, student from Cambodia to come
Which is
over.
Also really funny, that scene at the pep rally. Sam Nang or whatever, like, yeah, fuck yeah. I'm going to fuck that guy or something like that.
No, okay, so let's get into that a little bit, right? The language in this film is maybe a little bit dated. They say, like, and I'm using air quotes, like, fag a lot and
Did
stuff
they?
Like that. Yeah, but honestly, at the time...
No one's... I know this is such a, I guess, a controversial thing, but I personally don't use the word, really, because it's just
no,
not part of my vernacular. But, like, no one's talking about gay people, really?
Yeah, like, now people don't use it because they know it offends people, but, like, 90% of people, high schoolers had, like, I'm not saying this is a good thing. High schoolers had not taken that term to mean, like, oh, you have sex with men.
Yeah, no, it just became a thing, like, you're an asshole. I don't know.
Like, well, like dumb, right? Like,
yeah.
People say you're dumb, but dumb originally meant, like... mentally...
It was like an actual, like, doctor would, like, you know, yeah, this person's dumb.
A lot of those words come from that. I'm not saying that's
sure.
a good thing.
Yeah.
But it definitely used the language at the time. I'm not saluting it for it either, but...
Yeah. It's like, fag was more like calling someone lame.
Yeah.
Than
anything
and to
lame
do with gay
used
people.
To be, like, in the 1800s or whatever it was, like, oh, he's
sure.
lame, he can't walk, you know? Like,
yeah. It's not like Tony Soprano calling someone a fag. They're
yes.
Just...
If you use Soprano things, like Tony Soprano...
Poppers and gay sex!
I always think about, like, Sopranos. There's that, like, gay character in that whole gay arc that was whole popular. The one who, like...
Oh, yeah. Fucking... What's his name?
I forgot his
Vinny?
Name.
Vin? No.
Maybe. But, you know, he, like, lost a lot of weight in the show.
How could I not remember? I've seen the show a million times. Anyway, yes, okay.
No, but, like, the whole thing is, like, oh, he's gay, let's ignore it. But then when they find out he's, like, sucking a dick on the show. They're like, we got
to
kill him.
Yeah, but Tony wants to give him a break, though. He does. But then he realizes no one's going to go along with this. And I
can't. No, yeah, but like that's literally about homophobia in the
yes,
show.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, my point is, this has nothing to do with homophobia.
Not at all.
I'm not condoning the language at all. But it's offensive, but it wasn't as offensive to me today because I know that wasn't their intention.
Yeah.
And I don't think if this movie's made today, they're still saying it.
Context is extremely important. I know people don't like to believe in context. But
no, but yeah.
But it is.
Exactly. But, you know, those scenes are like, that pep rally is hilarious. Cause
oh, it's so funny.
Team, but, like, he's got to make his speech.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the way people would react. I don't know. It just feels realistic to me. Like, they would goof on this Asian kid.
We went to high school at the same time as this, so we know. Like, it was pretty, like, realistic to
them. Totally,
that.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, she's just like, you get it from their chemistry that she's just looking for a different life. Mm-hmm. Supposedly she's house sitting for her aunt who we never meet.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
I mean, there's things within the plot that are contrived to get the story moving forward, but it's fine. It's the correct story.
They're almost, and I think, you know, you echoed this point, they're almost like living vicariously through each other.
Yeah.
Even before he knows she's a porn star, like she's like making him take chances and all these things. And
yeah. The skinny dipping or whatever.
Yeah, the skinny dipping and like, is that the principal's house? Yeah. It's in the principal's house. And it's all fun things that like are really scary to a high schooler, especially like...
Oh, yeah, that'd be terrifying.
Him.
Yeah.
But then, you know, the movie kicks in when his porn-obsessed friends discover that she's actually a porn star.
Sure.
All right, what? Perhaps you should have a seat. Perhaps you should bite me. Perhaps... Matthew, we live in a crazy, mixed-up world. Crazy, but oh, so beautiful.
Oh, excellent, Grasshopper. And now, for the final task of your training.
You're gonna need a harder piece of wood than that, cowboy.
That's not her.
Yeah, it is.
Cool.
You're missing the best part. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Settle down, Tiger. I know.
It's not funny. Seriously, get away from it.
Dude, don't mess this up.
Mess what up?
Matt, she's a porn star, okay? Take her to a motel room and bang her like a beast.
Eli, I like this girl.
And you can still like her with your penis inside her.
That's when you were saying, like, I think you were talking about the scenes where he's like, kind of like, fuck it, I'm just going to treat her like a porn star. He doesn't say that out loud.
Yeah, but like his friends, the Eli, I guess, was like, you know, you gotta, you know, get a room, bang her, like shit like that, like egging him on that. That's who she is. That's how you're supposed to treat her. That's how you're supposed to do it. But yeah.
And I think these are kind of, so this movie's kind of long, right? It's almost 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I was kind of surprised by the runtime. But I wasn't disappointed either because I think these kind of scenes flesh out the characters enough where you don't hate them for their actions later.
No, I mean, you gotta remember too, these are teenage boys, so like Eli's reaction is not normal, but it's acceptable in the sense that he's just a kid. He doesn't really know. His eyes about sex are through porn, so like that's his idea of what sex is anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. And think at the end of the day, this movie kind of skirts controversy, and not controversy is a bad word, but when all the shit happens at the end and we'll talk about it, like, it's not like her having sex. It's not like,
yeah,
she says, I gotta, like, fuck someone to make the money for this, you
sure,
know, to devise a plan. Maybe that's, like, safe.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is like this is a teen movie, you know? Mm-hmm. This is not something where it's like, oh, let's see how they react to those things. If she,
sure,
like, does he agree to, you know, whatever, we'll get into it. So were there any, again, scenes that really stuck out to you?
I love all the Timothy Oliphant stuff. He's just so fucking good.
Oh my god! So when I first saw him, I'm like, oh, I don't remember he was in this movie. Like, is he not memorable? Is that why I don't remember him?
Yeah, but yeah.
He is so good at this character. Yeah,
and I love the way he dresses. He looks like he's a member of Lit.
It's so like of that time, and it's so believable. He says he used to date Danielle.
Yeah,
and it's Kelly.
Yes, of course.
But he's really like, I don't want to say her agent.
He's, yeah.
But kind of,
he
right?
He is, like, yeah. He's almost like...
He's a porn director.
A porn star pimp.
We can't compare... you and I don't we can't compare the porn industry to, like, the regular
film industry. You can, because there's the juxtaposition of him, and then there's James Remar's porn guy. So there's the... Elephant's the lo-fi, almost pimp-like, amateur porn, off-the-cuff, gonzo shit.
Yeah.
And Remar is fucking... Pornhub. He's corporate porn.
Yes. So but I was thinking more in a sense of like porn is more DIY, again from what I know of it, more DIY than
now
regular film. Oh, no, but I'm saying in a sense of like the director is also more times like the writer and a producer and getting the people together.
Yeah, okay. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that he's not just like a director. Like he controls a lot of aspects, including, unfortunately, controlling Danielle's life. And to be clear, this is something I was nervous about, like Danielle's age, but
yeah,
they kind of make it clear that she probably is only like a year or two older.
No, they're the same age. They're both 18.
They're both 18.
I think she's supposed to be 18.
So did she drop out of high school or something? Or maybe she like just graduated?
Never went to... I don't think they go into that much.
It's not clear. Okay, so they're around...
Anyway, she's legal. She's not like...
Yeah, they're both legal and they're both around the same age. So it's not like one of these weird things of like, oh, here's a 15-year-old with a 25-year-old.
No, yeah.
No. So they're, again, like you said, they're around the same age. But you have an older guy in Kelly, the Timothy Oliphant character, who is just... I don't know if it happens in the porn industry because I'm not connected to it, but it feels like this happens, right? Like,
absolutely.
You have an older guy, like, recruiting, like, 18-year-olds to be in these films, and whether they want to do it or not, that's fine. I'm not, like, criticizing them for taking that lifestyle, but it's definitely, there's a lot of, like, older men in control of this.
There's, I mean, within the porn industry, I think there's a long history of performers... being sort of, not all of them are this way, but like there's like a history of them not being coming from the best situations, even from their childhood or whatever. But I think what you're getting at too, in terms of what kind of director or producer Kelly is, compared to what's Remar's character's name? It's something silly.
Hugo Posh.
Hugo, yeah. He even has a at the porn expo, Hugo Remar has a conversation with Danielle saying, like, what are you doing with this guy? You should be with me. Like, you shouldn't be with such a dirtbag if you're going to be doing this. He mentions that to her.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think you are supposed to think of Oliphant's character, Kelly, as he's a fucking, almost like a pimp in a dirtbag, except those people on E. You know what I mean? Like,
eventually you see it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, at the beginning, you're like, I mean, I never thought, like, oh, is this guy really his friend, you know? Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He had an angle, but...
He was cool with him until he started fucking with his business.
As he said.
Yeah.
To me, Oliphant is the sleaze. Again, everyone in porn sleaze, but we're not saying that, like, in this world... The James Remar character is definitely more of like...
He's the businessman. He's a producer. Yeah,
the classy guy, you know?
Yeah.
But you're right, though. Like, Timothy Oliphant is such a standout in this film.
Oh, I love... Yeah, I love when he takes him to the strip club and then he sees his dad's friend there. And Oliphant goes to the guy, Patterson, I haven't seen your black ass in ages. And the guy just stands there stunned, like, how do you know my name? And it's just really funny.
The strip club scene is great. And not because, oh, there's, like, naked girls. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's great because strip clubs exist. They still do exist. Mm-hmm. I love that he saw his dad's friend because, like, I think in people's heads, like, oh, the people at the strip club are all sleazy people. But no, it's like...
No.
Again, I'm not a big strip club guy.
Me either. I haven't gone since, like... whatever, with Kyle. When we were like 23, 24.
The Gus Glitter era.
The Gus Glitter. I think we went to... I'm 59. Was that Stilettos? Is that Stilettos?
That's Lace.
Lace. Okay, whatever. Oh, strip club. But with that, and then we went to go see Where the Wild Things Are, like the movie.
Oh, my
and then
God.
After Where the Wild Things Are, we went back to the strip club.
Who directed Where the Wild Things Are? Oh, what's his name?
Spike Jones. Gandolfini's in it. Yeah. Whatever year that was, that's like the last time I think I went.
Exactly. You know, like.
Oh, me and Dad, we used to go to a me and Dick, a go-go bar because I was friends with the bartender. I worked with her at a hotel.
Okay.
But it wasn't a strip. It was like go-go.
No, but point is, I know you and I are not like the strip club crowd.
No, not at all. Like, I don't even want to go anymore because like, you don't like me. Like, don't come up to me. You're like, oh, how you doing, baby? It's like, ugh, whatever.
It's very, like, I hate saying this. It's very boomer-ish, you know, like
sure.
Strip club. But, like, I don't think our generation are big strip club people.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's got to be.
But that's kind of my point, right? Like, if the economy still exists, if these strip clubs still exist, someone has to be going.
Yeah.
So, like, it makes so much sense that his dad's friend is someone who would go.
Yeah. I think the new stripping is like a cam girl, maybe. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, true. That's like you probably don't even have to leave
the evolution of stripper is cam girl.
So, if Risky Business is the 80s, and this is like the 2000s, and if it goes every 20 years, in a couple of years, we'll get like a cam girl movie. That's
yeah.
Like this.
There probably is a shitty one, maybe.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like this, I guess this sex trade, as we'll call it, always evolves. But I don't know, I'm not comparing like.
Yeah, I don't know if.
Yeah, sex trade sounds bad because that sounds like.
Sex industry.
Yes, prostitutes from Thailand.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like win awards for being like progressive. It's like Mark Ruffalo is not going to applaud at the end of this film. That's not that.
Yeah.
But it's so much more progressive than it should be.
Sure.
Because when they depict these scenes, again, it's not just all about like, you know, you bring up this like strip club scene. When the dad's friend and him are both getting lap dances together, I love it. And not because, like, oh, they're getting lap dances.
It's awkward.
It's awkward as hell. And yes. That's exactly how it would be.
Yeah, if that happened, of course, yeah.
It is so awkward.
It's
even
great.
The idea of a lap dance is kind of awkward,
they
right?
really are. They're terrible.
And like, doing that with, like, someone else.
Yeah.
Like
that you know.
Your dad's friend.
Yeah.
Like, it would exactly be like
that. And that's what they're like, too. The time I've gotten it, it's like, for some reason in my mind, before I've ever been 20, you would think it's, like, private. But, like, it's not. You're, like, fucking next to people. It's horrendous. It's a terrible experience.
It's just odd.
Yeah.
It's odd.
And what do you get out of it? Really nothing. I don't know.
No. I don't know. Look, yeah. I don't know. I'm not the guy to...
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get someone on.
Yeah,
who
I don't
enjoys
know.
Them to debate it on here. But...
Yeah, who knows? Like, some guy who's, like, really into Germany or something.
But again, great scene in this movie. Being a teenager and being in high school is so awkward and so weird.
It is.
This movie really does a good job at depicting that.
Mm-hmm.
They have that date that's not great when he's like, oh, let me just have sex with her. She's a porn star.
Yeah.
But I just do love the fact that despite the fact, you know, he's going to Georgetown and he's living like a pretty squeaky clean life. Like,
yeah.
He really likes her.
He does, yeah.
And I'm not an advocate for like, meet someone in high school and then get married or anything like that.
Yeah, I was thinking about that before, too. If there was a sequel to this, like, it's not going to be good. They're not together
anymore. And I say that a lot here. Like, there's no expectation for me in these movies that people should find love in high school that's forever.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what I'm saying. But
no.
But I do enjoy the fact that it doesn't feel in this movie, and again, maybe we'll credit Emil Hirsch. I don't know. Maybe we'll credit the script or the director.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like I want to be with her because she's hot.
No, yeah. I mean, that's like his first initial reaction is like, because she's so hot. Like,
but,
oh, I would.
But, I think most of us, like, the first time we see someone is because we're attracted to them.
Of course, yeah.
But after that, he just really likes her as a person. And mm-hmm. She obviously likes him as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was one of, like, the great things about this movie. The fact that, again, they just really seem to have good chemistry and like each other. It doesn't feel like...
Yeah, from
like...
the start, after even when they go to the diner or whatever, is that after that she makes him strip or whatever? She draws him the doodle. And
yeah,
you
can
tell that they like, oh,
sure,
but... like they like each other.
Yeah.
She likes him and he likes her. Yeah, it's nice.
I don't know if it's clear, but at least for me, like this movie exceeded my expectations and is less dated than I ever expected it to be.
Sure. And you know what? They probably spent most of the budget on the soundtrack because take it like
God.
The songs. Like, there's some really popular songs in that movie. It's
I wanted,
crazy.
Like, so that was one of my questions for you. Like, what did you think of this soundtrack?
I think it's great in the sense that it represents the time as well as it references old music that fits in within the time.
Yeah, but this was like my iPod or whatever.
Sure. Like, yeah. Because there's like, I wrote down some of the people. There's David Gray.
David, that was the first one I was going to bring up. Like, it was one of my questions. Like, you big David Gray guy?
No, and not particularly that song, but I like some of his songs. He's a good songwriter.
No,
he's
I do
good.
Like
yeah,
David
yeah.
Gray, but like it's funny because like I haven't thought about David Gray in a very
right?
long time until this film came
yeah.
out.
That he was like big at that time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What was that something White Ladder or some shit.
There's a lot of but other stuff, but like, you know, like Bob O'Reilly.
Yeah,
and, like,
and there's also Harry Nilsson. I forget which scene.
Harry Nilsson, yeah.
Yeah, it always reminds me of Goodfellas, the cocaine scene when he's driving that song. Yeah. I think they're doing something kind of wild when that song.
But it opens with Under Pressure. You know?
Yeah,
and it's funny because obviously Under Pressure and like Bob O'Reilly are not music from the era when this film came out, but I feel like those songs are making a revival when this song came when this movie came out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, and it's just very of the time, because if we want to talk about this nostalgia era, I think it's existed since forever, but the internet really brought it back because we could start to look up stuff.
Yeah. Right?
Like, we'd start to, like, use LimeWire or whatever to, like, download music
absolutely
that we'd heard or that we knew our parents heard, you know? Mm-hmm. So this is such a great soundtrack. And I don't
filter,
know
if, take a picture is on in the movie.
And I don't know if, like, there's a literal soundtrack version. I'll look it up now.
And the songs also, as they're, a lot of times they're playing, they relate to the actual stuff that's going on in the movie.
Yeah. So a lot of times in this movie, and you get it a little here, but it's not crazy, but a lot of times in this era,
mm-hmm,
they would have like songs play, and they would play like really loud for 30 seconds or not even, and that was like a big
sure,
but for this film they really made sense. Mm-hmm. They didn't take me out of it. There's even an Elliott Smith song.
Yeah, I forgot Elliott Smith. That's crazy.
It is so crazy. But I would looked up like the soundtrack online, and there's more music that could fit on a CD.
Interesting. Like,
there's a lot of songs used in this. The use of music is great in this film.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely going to, like, look it up and see some more stuff. Like, I'm reading it now, like, George Clinton. Like, it's very eclectic, but it's also, like, awesome. Whoever put it together, bravo.
Yeah.
So, do you have any other scenes before, you know, we talk about, like, really the crux of this film? Because, to be honest with you, and I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing here, but it takes a while to build to, like, the whole...
The climax of
the climax.
Yeah. I like the overall feeling of the movie and the tone of the film in the sense that it feels realistic and it earns its payoff for the climax, which is basically unrealistic in a sense. Like, you know, he goes
absolutely
Vegas and then the next day he has to go to make the speech. You know what I mean? Like, it earns its right to go off the rails before it finally goes off the rails.
Earned is a great way to put it. Like, and I think that's why it's as long as it is, because nothing ever feels like, where did this come from, you know?
Exactly,
and in this movie, you would think that would be the case. You mentioned there's this scene in Vegas, and it's kind of like a porn convention.
Yeah.
Which is great, because, like, that does exist.
Of course, yeah.
You know, it shows, like, the industry. He's got to make this big speech at some point to get a scholarship to go to Georgetown.
And the thing is, too, it's about moral fiber, right? And moral fiber, what he does is moral fiber, not saying a fucking speech on a stage of what moral fiber is. His actual actions are moral fiber, which allows him to make a ton of money out of the situation in the end.
Exactly.
Anyway.
And it's something where, like, again, like you said, it feels so earned.
Yeah.
So he needs to make a speech on moral fiber.
Yeah.
And there's a couple other people in a school who are, like, making this speech. And not that the speeches are bad.
They're fucking dumb. And
they're just so typical.
Yeah, like, the one guy, he quotes JFK, and that's who he's going to quote. And it just shows how this situation where you let the establishment pick out what moral fiber is or who deserves what, it just shows that, like, that's not what moral fiber is or being successful is. It's going out and earning it yourself any way you can within, you know, within reason.
Like, again, I know it's corny, but everything he's doing is because he really, like, is passionate and, you know, I'll use the word, loves this girl. You know? And the feeling's mutual. And it doesn't, again, it's not because he's objectifying her. It's because they really do get along.
Yeah.
So it makes perfect sense. I hate graduations. Like, that's the thing I do not want to attend.
Yeah.
High school, college, doesn't matter. Why? Because all the speeches are long and they're the same.
Yeah, it's just bullshit.
Timothy Oliphant's character gets super pissed at him a bunch of times because he's taking Danielle out of the porn industry, and he's costing him money. There's a whole back and forth. She's in, she's out, she's in, she's out.
Yeah, and then that also shows that, like, she's the talent, she's what's worth something, and without her, he's just a fucking asshole in a sports car, dressed
like
the lead singer
of Lit.
Honestly. Yeah.
And, you know, he kidnaps him, he ends up, you know, beating him up, drugging him, essentially, and he's, like, super fucked up. And they go to the...
He fucks with him, that he says he has to blow him.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I didn't remember that. I was like, oh, my God, really? Is this what happened?
Is this what's going to happen? Yeah.
And I thought, like, maybe, like... Not that we would see it, but I thought it might happen.
Well, don't talk about, like, your fantasies.
So, like, he was so committed to her in that moment you saw in his eyes that he was like, could I do this? Maybe yeah. I should do this. And he's like, oh, I'm screwing with you. Point is, whatever. He gives him a bunch of, like, ecstasy after beating him up.
So. Yeah, he punches him so he has an excuse to pretend like he's giving him aspirin and he doses him with ecstasy.
Yes. But I love this scene. Like, it's silly, but just, like, Emile Hirsch, Danielle and him are just so... She's trying to keep him together. The way he acts in this speech thing, like, I love it because it's, like, these are the kind of things that I would want to say to these people in this instance. And his speech isn't great, but I get it.
Let's see here. Can't speak a foreign language, so that's out. And I certainly can't quote JFK now. Can I, Ryan? You know, it's funny. I have this whole speech prepared, and... I've been practicing for weeks, but you know what? I'm just gonna go with it. Moral fiber. So, what is moral fiber? I mean, it's funny. I used to think it was always telling the truth, doing good deeds, you know, basically being a fucking Boy Scout. But lately I've been seeing it differently. Now I think that moral fiber is about finding that one thing you really care about. That one special thing that means more to you than anything else in the world. And when you find her, you fight for her. You risk it all. You put her in front of everything. Your future, your life, all of it. And maybe the stuff you do to help her isn't so clean. You know what? It doesn't matter. Because in your heart, you know that the juice is worth the squeeze. That's what moral fiber is all about.
No, it's just like such a fun scene, and you know he's not going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly thought that the girl should get it. Rather than the JFK guy.
Yeah, yeah. But at that point, it doesn't even matter.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm thinking too much into it. But I love that he didn't get it because, like, after that, for him, the stakes were higher because it was kind of like, whatever, I'm just going to do my thing. Like,
yeah.
If I get into the school, great. If I don't get into the school, or, like, if I can't go to that school, whatever, I'm just going to support, like, Danielle and the situation. And when he invites her to prom, it's just, like, such a nice moment.
Absolutely. And it doesn't feel contrived or silly, again, because there's, like, a long build-up to get to those little moments.
So, exactly. Like, while, again, it's a longer film, I don't think that it's not... It works in the end. This is what we were trying to kind of build up to, right? Like, the whole, like, crux of this film happens when... I forgot the student's name, but the Cambodian student...
Yeah, Samsung? Yeah. Something like that?
Because it's like Samsung.
Huh? Yeah. Samsung.
They raise this money, or he raised the money, really.
Mm-hmm.
And Timothy Oliphant just steals it because Alicia Cuthbert, Danielle, was supposed to be in a movie that he booked. She decides not to do it.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck it, I need my money.
Yeah.
He takes it because he went to the bank with him earlier. Which
it's so stupid. But I mean, I guess the way that they sell it is that he flirted with her the first time. And he kind of got her all flustered.
This, like, bank teller actress was... She was good, but, like, it's such a random character to, like, get all these lines. I was surprised, because normally in a film it's, like, a one-liner. Like,
sure, but I guess they had to establish it to make it make sense a little more.
Which I appreciate. Like, more, like, I think most films have just been, like, well, sorry, your teacher came and got it. We're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
To, like,
but then he
do?
Also tries to, in that moment, he tries to pull one of Kelly's characteristics and goes, is that a new blouse? And she just looks at him like, what the fuck? So, like, he can't even be that douchey guy. Like, can't even pull it off.
Again, I appreciate that they're taking the time to flesh out these characters.
Yeah.
So, he doesn't have the money. He's completely screwed. And I love it. It's not even about, like, oh, man, like, He could probably make something up because he's got a good reputation. He's like, I feel bad for this.
Yeah. Well, he also was like, to the teller even, he's like, you fucked up too. Like, you gave this money to some guy without ID or whatever.
So I guess it's Danielle who kind of formulates this plan. And we don't know it. We don't hear it. So when you're watching this movie for the first time, if you don't remember, you're like, are they going to do porn together? Like,
what's happening here?
Porn-related.
Yeah.
And honestly, I love how this all comes together. Like, yeah. She brings her, like, porn star friends over.
It's so good.
One of them is in Ferrari.
Yeah.
It's great. And they're going to be the prom dates of his friends.
And then they're going to try to cast the jock guys to be in this porno. Yes, we don't really know what it is yet.
We don't know it, but we think it's just like a porn film that they're going to film in high school at the prom. But just, I love the chemistry between all the actors.
And I also love how, like, in the end, like, the one, you know, alpha jock guy can't get it up.
Were they implying he was gay?
No, he just got nervous and he just couldn't get it up.
Because, like, they cut to, like, one of the cinematographers, like, looking at him, and he's smiling, and, like, I don't know.
No, I don't, I didn't get that, but maybe.
But I think it'd be,
I took it as, like, alpha and tough, or, like, outrageous those guys are, really, they're just as insecure as the geeks, as, you know,
Eli. That's better that way. I was going to say, I didn't like that reading of it.
Reality is like an equalizer. Like, in the end, like, everyone's the fucking same.
Absolutely. So one of them, right, is it Eli, or maybe both of them? I think it's Eli, though, who's, like, the head of, like, an AV club.
Yeah.
So he gets all his, and he wants to be a director.
Sure.
You know, he decides, like, because he loves porn.
Yeah.
He really loves porn.
He does.
And he's like, I'm just going to make this movie. And I just love his determination. And there's a one line he's talking to her. He's like, think of Meryl Streep in Sophie's Choice. To like a porn star.
Yeah. It's funny. It's great.
He's taking it so seriously. And like Paul Dano. Oh, that's the whole tripod thing. He doesn't want to do it. Like, I guess he's like the most conservative of the three of them.
Sure.
And like, your tripod, if one of the legs falls, we all fall.
Yes.
And just the way that they like, this prom scene and work it all out is just, again, I love it. I love how they're just like, you know, the scene where they're like running and like, what are they making here?
I know, yeah. And then Emil Hirsch was going to just do it, and then he realized he couldn't do it.
Oh, and yeah, like, when you're saying like,
and the moral fiber kicks in again, and he's like, you know, and I can't do this. And they're like, how are you going to get the money? He's like, I don't care.
The movie utilizes these like flash forward scenes where like, if this is what you do, this might happen.
Sure.
Every time I fell for it, which is weird, right? Like, I'm like, oh, shit, this... I'm like, no! You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's, like you said, there's, like, the big scene. They need someone to do this big scene, and this is where, like, a guy's getting naked. And it seems like sex is going to happen or something.
Yeah.
I never believed, though, to be fair, that he was actually going to have sex with this random person.
Emil Hirsch's character? Yeah. What's his name? Matthew?
Matthew, yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't either, but I mean...
But it was still good to have that dilemma, because, like, he had to do something.
Yeah.
But then Paul Dano, Klitz
to the rescue.
Steps in and ends up being in that scene.
Yeah.
Just, though, like, the whole prom element, the way they look, the way a lot of these films will have prom scenes, and I never hate on it, because people made a bigger deal of it. Did you go to prom?
I did. I went to senior prom, but I didn't stay the whole time.
Oh, yeah, I remember you at senior
prom. I left.
Yeah. You were wild. You were spiked the punch, and you were like...
No, I went home.
Well, prom is like the Super Bowl of high school.
Like, yeah, it's like... It's always like the thing... It wasn't really an argument, but it's like, I feel like it's through like pop culture. It's like, oh, when you're going to lose your virginity or some shit like that.
Which is a big part of this film.
Yeah.
In the end... They get the film done. You know, they're almost caught. They've made
Oliphant has his last ditch effort to try to fuck with
you
with
knew
Matthew.
Something was gonna happen, right?
Yeah,
because like it was almost too neat.
Yeah,
Oliphant somehow breaks into a kid's house.
Yeah,
I don't know how he found out about it, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't recall.
Steals the film, and there's this took me a little bit out of it, but I didn't care. Here's the weirdest strategy about he should have just. If that's the film, right?
Yeah, just
stolen it, kept it, destroyed it, and then the guy wouldn't have gotten the money. Instead, he's like...
He's trying to get him in trouble?
Yeah, with his parents, and like... So this is what I said. Why would his parents, who have this like great son who's a straight-A student, let this creep in their house...
They didn't know who he was.
But okay.
Wait, what was his excuse to be there?
He didn't say. So other people said he was his advisor, but the principal was there too. He would know that he's not a teacher. Think about it. Would your parents let that kind of rando in the house and be like, "I'm going to tell on my son"?
Yeah, and then also the way they when they finally start to unveil that it's not a porno, it's just a sex ed film. When the parents are like, "Oh, is this sort of interesting?"
Hello, I'm April, and I'm Ferrari. You may recognize us as stars of the adult entertainment industry, and today we're taking time out to talk about a very important subject: sex. Special events such as senior prom place added pressure on young teens to lose their virginity and engage in unprotected sex. I know I lost my virginity at my senior prom. When'd you lose yours, April? When I was 10. Moving on! In this video, we'll go through everything from kissing to foreplay. And for our finale, we'll show you how to put a condom on properly using a real person. No cucumbers or bananas in this video.
So for those of you naughty boys expecting to see a raunchy porn video, you might as well turn this off now, because you're not gonna see sex.
What the fuck is this shit?
You're gonna see sex education.
This is interesting, Matthew.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Well, you remember those sex ed films back in our day? I'll tell you, if they were anything like this, we sure would have paid more attention, don't you think?
I still think it would be okay, still not appropriate.
But did they get to the part where they put the fucking condom on the dick in front of the mom?
And Paul Dano's got a big dick.
Yeah. But did they watch that part too?
I guess, and this is, again, they would still never show that in high school. They wouldn't show,
No way.
A real, even though he's 18, but a real high schooler's penis.
We didn't even watch a sex ed film that they put it on a piece of fruit. We didn't watch anything like that.
No, that's something in movies.
Yeah.
What was, quote-unquote, sex ed in high school anyway? It was health class, and they would...
I remember sex ed in 8th grade more than I remember in high school.
Who was your teacher?
Mr. Wessel. And he talked about sex. I remember him saying... There's semen and sperm, but it's mostly known as cum, and we all started laughing.
You know what?
Do you remember that?
Yeah, he was
great about it, though.
He was great. He was
awesome.
And he wasn't like a perv.
Not at all.
In that way.
No.
He was more realistic than any other,
That's the only sex that I remember. High school, we didn't really have any.
We had it in health, but it was all about, keep this flower, baby.
Yeah, it was like that. But yeah, I remember 8th grade health, Mr. Wessel telling us about sex, and he was really good at it in a non-creepy way.
No, but you're right. We never, saw a movie or anything like this. Yeah. But I get it.
And I remember him talking about STDs, and I made one up. I'm like, I heard about this new one recently on TV called Crotchilopus. Do you know anything about that? And he just starts laughing.
What a cool guy.
Yeah, he was the best. Wayne Wessel. Good man.
Wayne Wessel, yeah. Yeah, we didn't really have movies like that, but I thought the movie did a really good job of setting this up. It wasn't out of nowhere.
Sure, yeah.
We saw this really lame sex ed thing.
Yeah.
And it also did a good job of pulling the wool over our eyes of what are they doing here? What are they going to make with these porn stars?
Yeah.
Is he really bending the rules that much? Is she going to be in the movie?
Sure.
I was thinking about all these things, and it ended up being the safest approach possible, and a lot of the drama is more our drama and not his.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he knew it was a sex ed video, I get he still doesn't want his parents to see, but if he was intending to sell it to schools anyway,
yeah,
he called his bluff and it wasn't that big of a deal. Not exactly. And then in the end, the coda to this film was really cool because he ends up being rich. I didn't need the James Remar scene of on a talk show, whatever,
yeah, but sure, yeah,
but
I guess that also represents the fact if even within any industry, if you do something with some sort of, not even that guy had morals, I don't know, yeah, I don't know. It's funny.
It is funny.
Yeah.
So overall, what do you think of the ending?
Like I said earlier, anything that's almost non-realistic or outrageous is earned because it's well written And I'm willing to make those exceptions of stupidness. So in the end, I enjoyed it. I thought the ending was good. I like that he used his own moral fiber to become successful, and even more successful than just having a stupid speech.
His friends become...
Yeah, I love Eli when he's in like the Q&A, like they ask him a stupid question and he just goes, like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you didn't go to film school.
Yeah, what makes you think you didn't have to go to film school? He's just like, shut the fuck up.
Paul Dano is a big dick like this.
Yeah, that's his thing.
Mm-hmm. And that's all good. Matthew goes to Georgetown anyway, but he pays his own tuition because he's got a cool car. And they're still dating and it's fun. Like you said, it feels earned. So.
Yes.
There's a big thing in the film, and I keep saying it, but like, is the juice worth the squeeze?
Yes.
It's Timothy Oliphant's character says it to Matthew, like almost because he's like, oh, if you want to be president, you know, it almost implying like, should you date a girl like this? Like, is it worth all that effort? But he uses it eventually in that ecstasy-filled speech.
Yeah.
But he's being honest, right?
Like, yeah.
He's like, you know, you do everything for the person you love, essentially. That makes it sound cornier than it is.
Yeah.
But he uses the line again, is the juice worth the squeeze? So I'll ask you, you know, was the juice worth the squeeze in this film?
Absolutely. It was a very sweet juice that tasted good.
This film should not have as much, like aw moments as it does.
It does.
That's why I think, again, like, it exceeds expectations there. Any other scenes you want to mention here? Anything else you want to mention?
No, but I'll remember it on the subway ride home.
I'm trying to think of anything, too. There's a lot of great moments. It's one of these films that I'll watch again. Like, if it's on, I'm going to see again. Like,
oh, totally.
Again, I haven't seen it in years.
But. Yeah.
So, you say the juice is worth the squeeze. I was surprised, like, Rotten Tomatoes, 56% by the critics, 69% by the audience. But I think that's a lot of, like, original release stuff.
Of course, yeah, it's got to be.
Because everything I see today, people are really enjoying this film.
I don't think Variety or Rolling Stone are publishing articles about Girl Next Door anymore, so the...
So something I noticed, like, a lot of films I do will have a lot of scholarship on them. They'll have, like, you know, revisited this and that. This hasn't had it yet. Like, someone's going to get the, like, big BuzzFeed article where they get a lot of, like, the players of the film to talk about.
Sure, yeah.
And this one doesn't have it yet, so I couldn't figure out, like, why they concepted this.
There needs to be, like, a Blu-ray re-release or something with new artwork and then, like, with extra information. Like, there has to be, like, a rebirth. You know what I mean? You know how movies go through that? Yeah. Not that it's going to end up on Criterion, but...
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, it could... Like, it needs to be represented in a different way than it is now, which is basically just old marketing and, like, old...
Absolutely. Speaking of that, you know, there's a lot of, actually, releases of this film, but it's, like, unrated edition and uncut edition. Or, like,
yeah, I think I watched the unrated, and I don't know what the difference could even be. Maybe there's extra boobs.
I looked up, like, the...
The difference?
Not the difference, but time wise, and like a minute more.
Oh, yeah, there's probably like an extra shot of like the porn star's breasts or whatever.
Yeah,
or
stuff like that. And honestly, that is to me why the film suffered, because of the timing and the way it was marketed. It was marketed as like a teenage boob film.
Yeah.
And it really is a film with a lot more heart than that.
Absolutely. And is it a butt double for her?
Oh, I don't know.
It's got to be.
There wasn't a lot of...
Because I don't think you see her.
No.
It's just from behind. It's got to be a butt.
No. I mean, it wouldn't shock me.
Which ruins it.
They got a lot of porn... They got a lot of porn stars to be in this film anyway. Apparently
sure.
Some of them were real porn stars.
Oh, I don't know.
No one I theoretically recognized, but... All right, but I think since you've been on, we've changed the rating scale. Now we rate like a report card, like A+ to F. So what will you rate The Girl Next Door?
Within its genre?
Yeah, not like again,
not in the scope
like
of
Oscar
film.
Movies, like just enjoyment.
I'll give it an A-.
That's exactly what I was gonna give it too. And surprise, I was expecting maybe like a B- kind of film.
Yeah.
This is an A- to me. I really like this film. This exceeded my expectations.
Absolutely.
Like, I know I keep sound like a broken record, but I can't say it enough. Like, I would definitely recommend this film.
It's a really good coming of age film. That's realistic, and it's about. There's not like extra dramatic characters or someone with some sort of like real deficiency or overcoming some giant thing. It's like a real coming of age story.
It shouldn't be realistic. It shouldn't have this much heart.
Yes.
But it does. And it maybe does. That's why I like it so much, because
yeah.
It exceeds expectations. Again, this is not the greatest film made, but it's something where, especially in this genre,
mm-hmm.
it should be more noticed. And again, like, fuck, I know that was the original intention, but fuck all the Risky Business comparisons.
Yeah.
This is clearly something in its own right.
Absolutely.
That has a different message, even, in my mind.
Of course.
So, I mean, The Girl Next Door, again, we both liked it. And
yes.
Again, thank you for bringing it to my attention again.
No problem.
So
thanks for having
me. I ask this question every week as well. You're in the slumber party. You know, you and I, we're having this, but you can have any sleeping bag you want that's Girl Next Door themed.
Okay.
Design it. What does your sleeping bag look like? You know what I'm talking about, like those old graphic sleeping bags. They had like...
Absolutely. It's the fucking view of Alicia Cuthbert through the window.
But that's good.
Yeah. I mean, how could it not be? And I know yours would be Emil Hirsch in the street, that ass shot from behind.
Yes.
That would be yours.
You got me.
No, but what would be yours?
Let's see. In this film, that's you know what this film didn't have that I was surprised? Call me a sucker for this. Not a lot of like funny porn titles.
Sure.
I mentioned like a couple, but like, you know, anytime I talk about porn, they're like,
yeah, but when they do, when he does show him the porno she's in, it's like a stupid karate porno.
Yeah. I do like that. That would be my theme, like the karate, whatever the
yeah,
color
yeah.
of
and there's
karate.
A bat lift in the background, I noticed. For all you Star Trek fans, it's a great Easter egg, I would say.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah. It's a Klingon sword thing.
And it's legit that sword.
It is.
Klingon sword.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a design that's like they use that they fight with.
Good to know.
Yeah, hand-to-hand combat.
So I would, yeah, like whatever the cover of that porn is, that karate porn, that would be my sleeping bag.
Okay.
A new segment too since you've been on. It's called Rent Two Movies, Get One Free. You mentioned you worked at Blockbuster.
I did.
You obviously went to Blockbuster. They used to have sales like this, right?
Four for 20.
Okay. Yeah, exactly, but we're not going to do that many. But
okay.
Let's say it's a rent two movies, get one free thing.
Okay.
You and I have gone into Blockbuster. We've rented The Girl Next Door. What other movies are we renting for our slumber party?
Jeez. It's got to be, there's got to be a horror movie. It's a slumber party.
Well, whatever you want. It could be related to this. It could be not. But whatever you're in the mood for. It doesn't have to be of the era. Some people have asked, like, should it, like, in the scenario, is it 2004? No. It doesn't matter. You can pick a movie that came out yesterday. I don't care.
So we're going to do a horror movie. Let's do The Ring, because I love The Ring.
The Ring.
With another beautiful blonde woman.
Yes.
Naomi Watts.
Naomi Watts. I do like The Ring. I haven't seen that in a while.
Fucking Ring's great.
Very like North Pacific Northwest setting.
It's beautiful, yeah. And it's got great cinematography. And then do you pick the other? You got to pick the other movie,
No,
right?
But I host a show. You pick the other movie.
Oh, jeez.
Maybe something inspired by a David Gray song.
You're the romantic comedy guy, not me. I don't know. Jeez, I fucking, jeez. Star Trek Search for Spock, because it's a Klingon-based film to go with the...
That works.
To go
Are you
with,
a Star Trek guy?
I am.
Because I never knew this about you till this
it's
moment.
It's been right a now. Couple... It's the past few years I've gotten deep into the Star Trek.
Deep Space Nine. Deep.
Deep Space Nine is probably my favorite Star Trek
really?
Show.
Oh my God, this is like new information. I never thought to ask.
Yeah. I'm a, I guess
so you've seen all of Deep Space Nine? Like all of like...
Every episode,
You've
yes.
seen every episode of every Star Trek show?
Yes.
Wow.
Even Voyager.
Even the new Picard? Like.
I watched the... I don't even want to get into new Star Trek. We don't have time.
Okay, fine.
It sucks. It just has nothing to do with what Star Trek's about.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know. I didn't... Honestly, this is news to me. Live on the podcast, I didn't know you were into Star Trek.
Yeah, I am.
I'm not dissing it.
No, it's great. I'm sure you would like it.
I don't think I wouldn't. I don't know. I just never... Is everything accessible?
It's all on Netflix.
Oh, every...
All the shows are.
Really?
Not the new stuff. Not Picard
no.
or anything.
No.
But yeah, original series up until Star Trek Enterprise, which was like the newest one.
Wow.
From the early 2000s,
yeah. Good to know. Cause
but if you've never seen it, I would start with Star Trek The Next Generation. It's the Picard one.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah, with
Data.
Like, Harbor and...
Yes,
right? Yeah.
Yes.
And Data, yeah. That's yeah. what I know of it.
Ensign Crusher.
Yeah. Again, learning new information about you. It's something, like, again, I didn't get into Star Trek because I just never watched it.
I just needed something new to watch. And you know what got me into it? It was only a couple of years ago, maybe the Orville. I watched some Orville episodes. I'm like, I like this idea, and people are like, if you like the idea of the Orville, you gotta watch Star Trek. And
really?
Watch Star Trek.
That's awesome. I mean, when you said you knew that, like, Klingon sword,
it's popular. Like, anybody who watches Star Trek would know that.
Okay,
shit.
I was like, whoa, that's
yeah. I'm not like
that's a deep cut.
Yes,
that's
yeah. I keep my batliff by my bowl of gach for all you Star Trek fans out there.
I have no idea what that is. All right. Anything else you want to say or where people can follow you? I know you're anti-social media. So
I'm not anti. I'm just too lazy and I don't care. Lemonparty.org is my website. So if you want to
Lemonparty.
You want to go check
very
that out.
Very high school. Very high school.
Yes.
But there was a lot of other.
Tub Girl?
Tub Girl.
That's Chris Carroll's favorite.
Good to know. Wait, what was the one I'm thinking of? Lemon Party.
Lemon Party's that wonderful men scene. Oh, yeah. Meat Spin. Dan Kim. That's Dan Kim's favorite.
Well,
Kyle could never choose.
All the internet in its glory.
Yeah. No, Kyle was Tub Girl.
Kyle was Tub Girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, thank you, Wes, so much for being on.
Thank you.
Think of another movie that you
sure,
want to
I apologize on. If this boring and I sucked at it.
No, it was good. We learned about your Star Trek love. We got to rediscover a film that really, again, I've heard from someone today, and just from seeing like the response to this is clearly becoming a cult classic, and now I see why.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear.
All right, Wes, thanks so much.
Thank you.
It was real great having Wes on. Again, surprising film to me. Happy he brought a lot of enthusiasm to it, and I mean, just wow. I don't think we talked about Alicia Cuthbert enough. Like, she is this film. This made her like an it girl for a little bit, for those of you who saw it. Now, it didn't do that well, so I guess it didn't have that much impact, but I'm glad it's gaining a little bit of a cult following now, that's for sure. But hey, maybe you disagree with us. I'll ask you the question. Was the juice worth the squeeze when it comes to The Girl Next Door? If it was, or it wasn't, let me know on social media, whether that be Facebook, whether that be Twitter, and whether that be Instagram. Or you could email me at highschoolslumberparty@gmail.com. That's highschoolslumberparty@gmail.com. I promise I'll get back to you either way, and, you know, class participation is a big part of your grade. So let's talk about your homework for next week. The film you'll have to watch is Red Dawn. And I know your first question, which version of Red Dawn? Well, the 80s version of Red Dawn, the original version of Red Dawn. We're not going to do the remake on this podcast, at least I don't think. Depends on how many years I decide to do this, but I wanted to obviously cover the original first.
What's going on here, my friend?
George Yelich, I'm in trouble.
This is the emergency broadcast system. We are under attack by conventional forces of the Russian army. It is believed the lead waves were disguised as commercial charter flights. Communications have broken down in other parts of the country. Large areas of the Midwest may have been overrun.
They know who all of you are. They're looking for you.
You're 40 miles behind the enemy lines.
I just want to go home. A lot of people away.
Where's my dad, Mr. Eckert?
I want to love somebody, Andy. I'm gonna die before it happens.
George! No!
They're gonna kill us! All of us!
So why should we be different?
Because we live here!
Bad for a bunch of kids, huh?
Mama'd be real proud.
Wolverines!
So just to clarify once again, this is the 1984 version of Red Dawn. See it? Watch it. It's your homework, and I'm really excited for it, mainly because my guest is really excited for it. I know it's one of his favorite films. I know he's been wanting to come on this podcast and talk to me about it. I can't wait. I haven't seen it in a while. I think it's on Netflix, guys, so your homework isn't that hard this week. Oh, and of course, our guest is my friend, Dan Ferrara. Can't wait. And again, you can check us out anywhere you get your podcasts or on cageclub.me, and that's every Friday. Can't wait to talk about Red Dawn, and thank you so much for stopping by for The Girl Next Door. Let's see. I'll leave you with, you know, so many good songs to choose from this soundtrack, so let me just go through the list. How about Bubba O'Reilly? Some people call it Teenage Wasteland. Some people call it some other things. It's one of those songs that's like, why is it named that? I don't know. I'm not a big Who fan. Doesn't mean I hate them. I just don't know, like, the nitty-gritty of why everything's named what it is. You get the point. I'm rambling. It's time for bed. It's time to crawl into our sleeping bag. Later, dudes.
Still here? It's over. Go home. Go.